Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this beautiful day. I hope we have a nice sunny Sunday. Yay! We had a great time. Six of us ladies went to the ladies' conference. Or I don't know what it was called, convention. Christian Women's Connection. Anyway, they had a great speaker. We just grew so much. But they talked about how we are all broken. We all have things that we carry, that we, and she had this mirror, and she took a big mallet and just shattered the mirror. And it, like, all of us, I thought she was going to be throwing food at it or something. I don't know what but I wasn't expecting. I think we all jumped when she broke it. But then she had us all come and get a piece of the mirror and put what we're carrying on that mirror. And then we went and put it on the cross. And that cross, because the cross was standing behind the mirror. It was the best lesson that we could have learned, how we need to put things on the cross. And so that cross is full of mirror. It just is amazing how it came out. So I don't think I'll ever forget when I'm starting to really feel burdened about something or carry it, I can remember that I can get it on that cross. So anyway, it was a beautiful illustration, and it's a great thing to think, because that's what we need to do with all of these heavy burdens that we carry. So, and we all carry them, and we're all broken. So anyway, we just wanted to share that with you guys. We had a great Sunday school this morning. We'll have to get another table in there so we can get around it. So I encourage you to come at 9:30 and study with us. We're just going through our daily bread and for the last week what we've read. And so it's a great, great time of sharing. And that's exactly what I think the Lord wants for us. So anyway, I encourage you to come. 9:30. Then we have prayer meeting on Wednesday, and that's through Zoom. And if you go to the website, Debbie has it fixed, so you just can push on prayer meeting and it'll take you right to it, as long as you have the Zoom app on your, you can do it on the phone, you can do it on your computer, whatever you have. So it's a great way to join. And there's also just a phone number if you want to just call. Then we have Gleaners is on Wednesdays. And 11 o'clock it starts, so food goes fast, but it's a great, I think last week Josh said it was like 7 minutes. Is that what you said, how fast the food went? Yeah, pretty fast, so, but it's a great way, and they have meat and stuff, they do, it's really exciting how much they can bring, so, anyway. Great time. If you know somebody that is really in need of food, be sure and get in contact with Helen or Sherry, because they will make sure. Next potluck, May 7th. We are switching back to the first Sunday of the month. So May 7th, we will have our potluck after church. So 2 weeks. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this place that we can come and just worship you. We just can feel your presence. We invite you to just come be with us. Just open your ears, Lord, and let our worship songs just be music to your ears. And we ask a special blessing on Pastor Teresa today as she shares what you have put on her heart for us. And we know that some part of that sermon is going to be speaking to each one of us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that we have to guide us. We had a lot we learned, just talked about today in Sunday school, and it brought to mind. And forgiveness is one of them, and it's so hard sometimes. But Father God, you are here, and we know that you're going to be right with us and help us with that forgiveness. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship, And today it's Deuteronomy 10, 14, and 15. Look around you. Everything you see is God's. The heavens above and beyond, the earth and everything on it. But it is your ancestors who God fell in love with. He picked their children, that's you, out of all the other peoples. Wow. Yes, this world is God, so praise the Lord for what he does. All right, we're going to start with soon and very soon. Sing loud, and you got to sing loud too, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Didn't you like doing that?
You did good.
You did good. Okay. Well, this one's not that way. Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set. Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, I hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine.
Almost forgot there was a microphone. They say when you get old, you forget things. I don't remember what they said was next. Oh, well. Judy says, I got years yet. Thank heavens. Let us give back from what he has so graciously blessed us with. God, thank you for so many things you have given us. Nonetheless, this fellowship here, but friends, jobs, homes, vehicles, transportation, and a ministry all around us. Lord, let us give back as you have so graciously given to us. Finances needed in this world to advance the kingdom. Amen. Well, formally I say good morning and God bless you. Thank you. I need it. I'd like to bring a couple prayer requests to you from our family. One is Dawson is really struggling with allergies today. So if you hear him sniffling, he's not sick. It's just trying to get the meds right. Anybody else? If you don't take your allergy meds, it's a problem. Yeah. It goes downhill fast for me too. So... And then continue to lift up my father-in-law, Lou. I think we're having some more short-term memory issues that are progressing. So prayer there and motivation for us to get some support paperwork done for him. Get that all done. So prayers there for our family. Anybody else in the church family have a request or a praise they would like to share? Haley. Okay, so Haley's going to share a praise that her job is going really well and prayer for speedy healing of a sprained ankle. And are you wearing your boot now? Okay, good. No, there we go. I was afraid she might give me the boot, so I... Anybody else? Wink. So Wink is sharing his friend Bob had a stroke while walking on the sidewalk, fell down and got injured, and is now in a rehab. So prayer for Bob's recovery. Okay, I saw a couple other hands a moment ago. Donna. Yeah, Jeff is, I don't know how much you guys know, but Jeff and I call about once every 10 days or so, and he shares what's going on in his life with me. And I need that, you know, I need that connection with another pastor. And anyway, he has a lot of stuff wrong with his ankle. It's a lot. Donna really understated that. So there's a lot of reconstruction that needs to happen in this surgery. And it's going to take two doctors. So prayers that it goes well for him. Yeah, this coming Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday night prayer meeting, even if I don't make it, if you're there, think about it. That's Teresa. So Teresa's lifting up Jason, 5-year-old boy with cancer. Continued prayer for his recovery. I see you, Josh. So Josh is asking us to lift him up in prayer. He's having struggled with his thought life right now, and he knows that God will be in control of it when he asks us to help lift him up. There's a word I don't really use because it's kind of crass, but there's one time I use this word, and I mean it, and I say it, and I say, Satan, go to hell. And that's the only time I say that word, because it's appropriate and it fits and it's where Snake Face needs to go. So when I get that bad thought going right here, what do I say? That's the only time I don't know if that's technically a cuss word, but I don't try to use any crass words. Satan, go home. Exactly. Go home. Leave me alone. Yep. And there's an autistic boy in this congregation who knows that. Landon, I see your arm up. Somehow there's a tradition, we don't know who started it or where, but if it's the day of your birth, and it's that birthday, it's your golden birthday, so he was born on May 10th, he's going to be 10, so we're in the process. Pray for his parents to get around to planning a golden birthday party. It's gold themed, yep, it's your golden birthday. So yeah, Carolyn. So Carolyn is asking for prayer for an upcoming appointment dealing with the health of her corneas in her eyes and how that affects vision. And I know, Mom, that night driving has always been a nemesis for you, so I hope they find out what's going on. Yeah. Sarah. Sarah's lifting up three people to prayer. The first one is her former coworker, Alyssa, who's going through a drug trial to try to beat her cancer again for like the third or fourth time now. And then Dayson Tiaganko, her coworker's husband, who is still scheduled for open heart surgery coming up. And the third is Erin Lloyd. I was trying to remember her married name, sorry. Because she was Erin Kemper when we were going to school. But Erin Lloyd, one of the physical therapists at Physical Physical Therapy in Forest Grove, has just been diagnosed with cancer. So lift her up for a strong battle and recovery as well. Okay, Bill. Absolutely. Yes. His house looks beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. So Bill's praising God for the women's convention going so well. Or I think it was called Connection, I think. Yeah, Women's Connection. Yeah. And so, hallelujah for that. And there was another praise you had, Bill? I forgot. Oh, the bark dust. Yes, the way the church property looks. Absolutely. Haley, I see your hand again. Oh, wow. Wow, I missed that one somehow. Okay, so prayers. Haley's lifting up prayers for the family of the woman who drowned when her car went into Hag Lake and for an upcoming tonsillectomy in May, right? May, you said 30th? May 30th? Okay. That could be a little scary. Debbie, did I see a hand up there? Hoping apples don't fall too far from trees. Thank God for that. Yeah. What was that? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Debbie's just lifting up. I guess I was too humble for a moment there. Debbie's lifting up my son, Dawson, for coming over and being so helpful with projects around her house. Which means I get to go and work on paperwork in relatively less distracted areas. So it's been a benefit to me too. But the fellowship is great and the dogs are fun. So yeah, I mean, it's been quite a blessing both ways, Debbie. Yeah. Anybody else? Judy. Fried chicken and JoJo's. Fried chicken and JoJo's. How many times have I survived on fried chicken and JoJo's? Absolutely. So, definitely comfort food. Judy was just praising God for a fun time with Dan and Marie Hunley, taking Dan some fried chicken and some JoJo's and some Pepsi and watching him be in heaven here on earth. And continued prayer for Marie with her COVID brain and how that is affecting her as well. Yes. Anybody else? Carolyn. Thank you. So that sounds a lot like a praise request. Praise for the time spent with friend, right? Praise to be used as a vessel of God to witness to a friend. And then the prayer request that the friend would come to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And the prayer request that the marriage will survive that whole thing, because we know when two are unequally yoked, it is harder. And that's just the fact. So, but it doesn't mean you stop loving at all. Dennis, I saw your hand. That was Lawrence Thielen. Second heart attack in the hospital. So prayer for his recovery and the doctors to figure out what therapies can be done to try to prevent ongoing recurrence. Lawrence Thielen, lift up him and his family. I thought I saw another hand a moment ago. Sarah, did you have one more? So that's Andrea, maiden name Carabinus, married name Culbertson. And that is my sister-in-law, Sarah's older sister. We're lifting her up that she can get her diabetes under control. Both my wife and her inherited that strong Portuguese-Italian stubbornness that serves them so well at times and other times not as well. Has anybody been stubborn to their own detriment? We can just all admit that at some point. And so prayer for Andrea and her husband Mark. Their son Noah is at University of Idaho, and he's there on a full-ride scholarship for track and field. So they really want to go and see him at this competition. And prayer for us to have the finances to bounce back from just jumping right in with love, too. Sometimes it's just the right thing to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just got a praise from Carolyn and I. Today is 51 years.
Oh. Has it really been a year since we threw that party? Holy cow. Yeah. Praise God. The balloons are still in the back of your car? Wow. Thank you, Lord, for parents that have survived each other for 51 years. Oh, but the grace of God. Yeah. Anybody else? All right. Let us go together. Great and mighty God. Supreme over everything. The one who can walk on water because he created it. The one who can direct our lives because you gave it to us. Oh, great and mighty God, thank you for being who you are, always in control, always present in our lives, always loving, and always just, and always righteous. Lord, we lift up ourselves before you and ask for your forgiveness in moments when we have fallen short of showing your grace to our family members, to others, or just stubborn and didn't want to take care of a divine appointment. Lord God, just we ask you forgive us for falling short of what you place before us and ask us to be. Forgive us and restore unto us the joy of our salvation today. The love, unconditional love that you give us. Father God, let us convey that to everyone around us and use words if necessary. But let your Spirit shine through our faces and our actions, that others may know who we are because of our love for one another in them. That comes from you. Father, we lift up many people who have need today, Lord. We lift up Dan and Marie, and we lift up Lawrence Thielen, and we lift up Alyssa, and we lift up Andrea, and we lift up Dason, and we lift up so many names. We lift up Haley and her ankle. Lord, there are more that were expressed today. They all bow before your throne of grace, and they say, Lord, heal us. So, Lord, heal them. Be with the family of the lady who drove into the lake. Be with a little five-year-old who doesn't even begin to understand everything happening to him. Give him peace and his parents peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we continue to lift up those that cannot be here, but are with this body in spirit and in truth. Lord, we praise you for the many amazing things you have done. Lord, we praise you for the ability to step in and show love in many different ways and the finances to be able to do it. We just praise you, Father, for providing for us each and every day. Lord, we praise you for at least a couple couples in here that have made 50 years of marriage. God, we thank you for them and the example that you have been through them. We ask, Lord, for everyone else that is married, that they will also continue to see their spouse with your eyes and unconditionally love and watch marriages grow. Father God, I just want to pray for marriage. Lord, in this society we live in, it is so cheapened, so discounted, so disregarded. And yet, Lord, it is a perfect picture of who you are. So, Father, begin to work in the hearts and bring revival to those in this nation that would consider it. Lord, make marriage honorable again. Thank you, God. Lord, we lift up our leaders as you command us to pray for those in leadership above us. We know that ultimately we are members of the kingdom of heaven, and that kingdom is here on earth as well as in heaven. Lord, work in the hearts of men and women in leadership to help make your kingdom more here on earth. Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of the hearts of so many that need to know you, know your peace, and then provide it to everyone else. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, kiddos. Come on, Bubba. I don't know if you guys heard earlier, but he's back there trying to sing today. Yeah, he's a good one to sing. Let's see, what song do we have today?
Jesus Loves Little Children. You know this one. You know this one. Can you sing it? Maybe. Let's give it a try. You ready?
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, brown, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, brown, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus, thank you for loving these children. I pause to think how much I love them, and then to know you love them infinitely more. Watch over their every step, Father God. Make straight their paths in front of them. Cover them from temptation. Lead them to your righteousness. Bring them into your kingdom. For your glory and name's sake. Amen. All right. I think there might be children's church. Let's go.
I so love his reactions. It's the best. It's the best. Oh, to be a child again, right? When you share what's in your heart. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's a shame that we lose that over time, that honesty, that sincerity. But thank God. I mean, I think that's why God asks us to be like children, right? Yeah, thank God for all of our children here. They are a blessing to us. And thank God for people who volunteer their time to work with them. Amen? All right, so welcome. Today we're going to continue examining Resurrection Sunday. Previously, in the last couple sermons we've had, we saw Mary and friends go to the tomb where Jesus was taken to practice the burial tradition of anointing the body with oils and fragrances. And then it turned out the tomb was empty, just like he said it would be. Yet they were surprised. They were bewildered. The women go and tell the disciples. So then Peter and John visit the tomb to see it for themselves. Can this actually be true? They go and look. And Peter still looks in and is like, what in the world? But John begins to believe. He's like, the light bulb comes on for him. So then they go back and they tell others, yeah, it really is empty. But then later that day, Jesus appears to the group of disciples. And remember, Thomas wasn't present. So they get to see Jesus like, whoa, Jesus is really risen from the dead. And so by the time that Thomas joins the group, they tell him what they saw, and he's like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And so then Jesus comes sometime later, and Thomas is there with the rest of the group and shows himself to Thomas. He shows him the nail marks along with the scar from the spear that's in his side. So all of that takes place after Jesus' resurrection. And today we're going to continue to look at another passage of scripture that also talks about that day that Jesus was resurrected. So we will look at that. It's featuring another set of disciples, and check out what we can learn. So our scripture today is going to be found in Luke chapter 24. We're going to focus on verses 13 through 35. And I'm going to be sharing from the Message. But as always, choose whichever translation is helpful to you. So it's entitled The Road to Emmaus. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. And then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" And so Jesus says to him, "What's happened?" And then they said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priest and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it's now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it was empty, just as the women said. They didn't see Jesus." Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted. Why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? That the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses. And he went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them, taking the bread. He blessed and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as we conversed with us on the road?" As he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us. Now, they didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. "It's really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him." Then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. Amen to God's word. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, I really enjoy how scripture gives a snippet of the disciple shenanigans, is what I call them, disciple shenanigans. During Jesus' crucifixion, right, when they're all like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening." So then they start to scatter and they peep out to see what's happening next. They don't want to be caught up in it and get crucified themselves. And then it gives us a picture of what happens post-resurrection. Why does God tell us those things? I think it's for a couple of reasons. So we can see ourselves in the disciples, right? They're not these holy people that we can't be like, that we can't emulate. They're actually regular, everyday people, just like you and me. Regular, everyday people that God uses. So the scripture normalizes their humanity and normalizes their emotions and what they felt and their experiences, so we can look back at their stories and learn from them. Scripture shows us that being a disciple is to be an imperfect human who loves God. That's what it means to be a disciple. You're imperfect. And you love God. So let's review the passage to see what we can learn. It begins telling us what day it is, the same day that Mary and all the other Marys and friends went to the tomb. The very day while some disciples were lying low and only going out of the house for the necessities. Remember, they're hiding and they're locking the doors. That very same day, there were two other disciples who walked to a town 7 miles away, the scripture says. Now, the writer doesn't tell us the purpose of the trip. Like, why are they going? Aren't they supposed to be hiding? We don't know why they went. Why are they going there, risking being seen by the religious leaders? We simply learn that the two embark on that day's journey to another city, despite the danger of being seen in public by those who might turn them over to the religious leaders. They do it anyway. Are they going to buy things that they can't get in Jerusalem? Are they going to meet with other disciples to encourage them and tell all they saw and heard over the past couple days? We don't know. What we do know is that they were travel companions, the two of them, and while they were on their journey, they start talking about Jesus' fate, what happened, and wondering about their own fate. What's going to happen to us if that happened to Jesus? What's going to happen to us? And then this stranger kind of butts in on their conversation. And that stranger just happens to be Jesus, but they don't know that, right? Another mystery of the passage. So we don't know why they're going there to begin with. But we also don't understand truly why Jesus, they couldn't recognize him while he's walking alongside them and asking those questions. But just like Mary, remember? She too, she's standing at the tomb, getting all, in a huff and crying like, what'd they do with the body? They stole the body. The stone's been rolled away. What is going on? And when Jesus talks to her, she's just thinking, oh, he must be one of the gardeners, one of the helpers. What have they done with this body? My friend is supposed to be here. And he's like, Mary. And that's when she realizes, oh, this isn't a gardener. That's Jesus. So why does God do that? It's a mystery. She doesn't recognize him. They don't recognize him. It's interesting. So scripture doesn't explain it. It just states what occurred. And so the two gentlemen, they proceed to fill in this presumed stranger on all the things about their beloved rabbi. And after listening for a while, Jesus has to rebuke them and correct their theology. It's almost as if he just can't take it anymore. So he has to interrupt them. Like, really, y'all? Really? All the time I spent teaching y'all what was going to happen and you still don't get it? So he has to set the record straight. So he interrupts them. Did you not read the scriptures? They all talk about the Messiah's plight. And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, we're good Jews, so of course we've read the scriptures. But they're still looking bewildered, and they're still looking sad. Like, man, you just don't understand how much he meant to us. So Jesus says, let me break it down for you. And so he literally walks them through scripture, showing them that who the Messiah is, what he was going to do, and what was going to happen to him. And that's when they began to understand what Jesus had taught them before he had died. The light bulb came on for them. That same light bulb came on for Mary and for John at the tomb and for the gathered disciples when Jesus comes and visits them. Remember, I said I was going to die and that I would be resurrected. So when he stands in their midst, it's like, oh yeah, he did say that, didn't he? That's what was supposed to happen. And they still don't recognize Jesus after he teaches them about the Messiah, but they're impressed. They're impressed with his understanding of Scripture. So they invite him to stay with them. Come, have supper with us. It's the least that they can do. And that's when the big reveal happens, right? They recognize Jesus by the way in which he actually breaks the bread and says the blessing. But then miraculously, he disappears. And so the two decide to head back to the city, head back to Jerusalem, and tell the others what happened. Now, I looked it up, I Googled it. How long does it take to walk 7 miles? So if you're leisurely, it says it could take about 2 hours to walk 7 miles. If, however, you're in decent shape, you can get it down to about an hour and 45 minutes. Now, I'm presuming that those two young gentlemen were, even if they were older, they were in good shape. Because you understand, back in that time, they didn't have a Toyota RAV to drive around in and get somewhere in 5 minutes. Everybody walked. Now, some people owned beasts of burden, right? They had a donkey or they may have had a camel. But guess what? They still didn't ride those. That was for putting all your stuff on. That was your shopping cart. So you loaded all your stuff onto those animals and you walked with the animals. Now, it's an interesting thing. When I was in the Middle East recently, people still do that. It's amazing. They just load up their stuff and walk with their animal. Now, some people will ride them, you know, depending on what they're doing. But it's like, wow, even to this day, those are beasts of burden. That's why they were given that name, because you load all your stuff onto them. It's like I would pack stuff into my RAV4, but then I'd get in the front seat and drive it. Their driving is walking and guiding the animal. So I'm figuring they probably got back in that hour and 45 minutes. Didn't take them long. Now, again, we don't know why were they even there to begin with. And then they just turned around and walked right back. Did they even take care of the business that they were supposed to be? Like, why were you going in the first place? Did you stop at some stores? What was happening? No. They stopped. They entertained the Savior himself, had a meal with him, and then turned around immediately to go back and tell the others. Very fascinating. It only took them a little bit to get back. And I'm sure because of the excitement in their hearts, their pace was even faster, right? I could see them almost running back to the city of Jerusalem. So now we have this story, and so you might wonder, well, okay, so what's the whole point of this story anyway? What's the lesson to be learned? It might seem like one more time when a group of disciples didn't understand. Silly disciples. As with all the accounts recorded in the Bible, they've been included so we can learn from them. I don't think God wasted the ink on those pages just to fill a book so that we'd have all these stories and dramas that we could put on. It's not the purpose. There's a lesson to be learned in each of those stories. That's why they're included in there, right? So what do we gain from this? This story of Jesus miraculously appearing and teaching his followers reminds us of these following truths. This is quite simple, quite simple. Listen, first, from the beginning, God had a plan of salvation. That's number one. He had a plan of salvation. Number two, he was faithful to his plan and continues to be to this day. Somebody say, well, what was the plan? Of salvation. That's why he wrote way back in the books of Moses, the Torah, the first 5 books of our Old Testament. He already had a plan. We talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning. God already knew. He knew that people were going to cut up and act a fool and not follow him. But he had a plan. That's why he gave us the Messiah. And not only did he send his Messiah, Messiah came and did what he was supposed to do, which is what Jesus taught those two disciples that day, revealed to them all of the scripture. Yes, remember what God promised? I am him. Remember when God said that his Messiah would die and then raise again? That's me. That's why I'm standing here with you right now. Oh, and remember, just as Jesus left and went to heaven, he's coming back for us. So there are yet still things that Jesus is working on for our behalf. So that's one and two. God had a plan of salvation. He was faithful to that plan. Number three is, even when we don't recognize God is at work, he is. These two were walking along, commiserating, oh, woe is us. What's happened to our beloved rabbi? We thought he was the one. He was going to come and do these things. And now he's dead and gone. And somebody stole his body. And now we who followed him have to hide out because they might come get us too. You probably never felt like those silly disciples. Ever, 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 never, ever in your whole entire life, even if you're only 24. Jesus has forgotten about me. I've lost jobs, but my friends have turned their backs on me. Those people at church who are supposed to be nice to me, they're not always nice. So you might begin to think, is the Messiah really real? Does God really even still care? Doesn't seem like it. The people at work are cutting up. Prices are going up. And guess what? Your salary hasn't grown. Your income is still at this level. And everything else costs this level. Jesus can't care about that. I mean, if he was true, if he was real, he'd be here helping me fill that gap. That's what the disciples thought. Is God really real? Does he really care? Is he really coming through with this Messiah? We thought this was him, but apparently not so. Sometimes we miss Jesus when he's in plain sight in our own lives because we become overwhelmed with all of the challenges and we forget. We forget the promises of God. We forget the last 1,000 times that he's actually come through. Because this one problem that stands before us seems to be oh so big. We've forgotten who God is. He is our creator. He's the God who had a plan of salvation. Before you were even born, he had a plan. Before we even took space on this planet, he's already made ways for us to come back to him. He's already provided victories for us. But sometimes we're like the disciples, even though we don't want to admit it. Where is God? We say to ourselves, does he not see this? Does he not care? What am I supposed to do? And then there's another question. How do I even get over this? We talked about forgiveness today in Sunday school. It's hard to forgive some people. It really is. Don't be laughing at me, Pastor Ivan. It is hard because they're difficult. And they get on your nerves. Even though you really try to be kind and loving, they still act out. So how in the world am I supposed to forgive them? But we remember what our great God has done for us, right? He forgave us. So, like the disciples, we need to go back to the scripture. What did God do? What has he done? What is he going to do? Remember those things. And sit down and journal so you can look back over your own life and go, oh, yes. God came through for me on that. He came through for me on that. Ooh, I remember I didn't even know what I was going to do. And look, he provided an answer even there. And that one time when I really, really, I unfriended my friend on Facebook, I canceled them on Instagram, and I even removed them from my cell phone so I wouldn't even know their number when they called. But God turned it all around, and he taught me how to be forgiving because he reminded me of the times when I was cutting up and he forgave me. That one time. I don't have very many of those times. It was just the one time I was getting up. But he did forgive me that one time. So that's the lesson that I have learned, that he forgave me that one time. Guess what? I can turn around and forgive somebody else. Don't forget what God has promised. Don't forget what he's already done in your life. We need to remember those things so that when we come to new obstacles that are standing in our way, we are not fearful. We actually, yeah, we don't have all the answers, but we know the one who does. And we have access to him because of Christ Jesus. So just as Jesus walked the two disciples through scripture to reveal God's plan, he invites us to go back to scripture time and again to remind ourselves of who God is and who we are in him through Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus broke bread with the two, he invites us to commune with him. Come, sit, share a meal with me. Spend time with me so I can reveal myself to you. That is Jesus' invitation to us. The more time we spend with him, the more we learn of him, and the more he can rub off on us so that we can go out and rub off on others. Jesus walks alongside us on our spiritual journey. And that's what that road to Emmaus really symbolizes at the end of the day. It's our spiritual journey. Don't get sidetracked and distracted by life's woes, or we may just miss seeing Jesus in plain sight. Just as the two disciples who were walking that day, we might just miss seeing him. But I want to encourage you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, he's there. You may not feel him. You may not be able to see him. Sometimes you're listening for his voice and it's silent. He's still there. He's still there. Go back to the word. Go back to your experiences. Remind yourself, Jesus is there and he still cares. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It is so true. And sometimes we forget. We look at the stories and we think, yeah, but that's such a long time ago. What does that have to do with today, right here, right now? Reveal yourself to us. We ask. Reveal yourself to us. We invite you to show up in our lives every single day, all throughout the week. When we're having good times, so we can remember to praise you and thank you. When we're having difficult times, so that we can ask for your presence. We can ask for your wisdom. We can ask for your guidance. We can ask for your protection, for your strength, and for courage. We know that the scripture teaches us, if we acknowledge you in all the things, you will be faithful to show up and make a way for us. So we pray that to those ends, even now, walk with us. Help us to be mindful that you are actually with us. You have not forgotten us. You will never leave us, because that's one of your promises. Thank you, God, for that. Speak to our obstacles. When we're feeling alone, when we're feeling afraid, when we're feeling that nobody else understands, we know that you do. We know that your Holy Spirit lives in us, gives us witness that you are our Messiah, you are our Savior, and that you have gifted each and every one of us with new life and with new gifts that we can share with the rest of the world. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's close with a song, and then we'll come back with our benediction.
We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be."
Those are great lyrics. Can you put that the last slide back, Sister Debbie? Thank you so much. I hope that we're singing these songs and really truly meaning them. If you are asking God to take your life, take over you, so that everything about you will be about Him, that's where the victory is. I'm telling you, that's where the victory is. Because it's not about your sickness that you're battling. It's not about the bills that are stacking up. It's not about the difficult people in your life. You know, you can list all the negative things, but if you're really, truly singing that song and asking God to be in you, that's where you're going to find forgiveness for others. That's when you're going to find joy when it's really not an occasion to be joyous. That's where you're going to find strength when you're tired and you're at wit's end. Take my life, Lord God. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. In your money, in your time, in your talents. So let's go with those words in our hearts. Maybe resonate with you this week. All that you are, that God will fill that in your spirit and in your hearts and take over your minds so that you can truly reflect who He is. And that's all He asks, that we truly reflect who God is. Go in God's grace, go in His peace, go in the power of His might. You, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, until we meet again, God's peace be with you.